Representative Poppy, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
And correct me if I'm wrong, are things pretty quiet at the Capitol today because of the primary?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, a lot of people, legislators have voted in their home districts, or, some people will be out and about doing some of that. But we just continue to do things as usual. I think there's, still a push to try to figure out how we can people are concerned about all of I'm saying. I'm voting in the Democratic primary, or I'm voting in the Republican primary. That's going to be available to people to know. So I think there's, the bills are still going through the process to see about kind of tightening that up a little bit. And but, keep in mind for everyone, it's a little bit different from an open primary. It's not a primary that is like we'll see in September, if there were multiple people running for the same office. It is a preferential primary for parties. And so if you are a Democrat, you can be voting in the DFL primary. If you're a Republican, you can vote there. And if you would not be somebody who would align yourself with either one, you maybe won't be voting. Because if you weren't going to be a person that would have caucused for either the Republicans or the Democrats, then maybe you wouldn't be voting in this primary. But, it's our opportunity to kind of help advance the likelihood of somebody being the person that's going to be either the Republican or the Democrat that's moving forward. But and obviously the shift here now has got a couple of people that were more likely to be supported in Minnesota, maybe. Certainly Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, we've got a few that have gone out. So, it's a little bit interesting to see, what the vote count will look like today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because during the caucus a week ago, the session was kind of down for the day, wasn't it? Or was that complete?
Yes, okay. You're right about that.
Okay,
yes,
that was
right
the mental that. Reference I had.
Yes, that you are right about that there was kind of a break. Yep.
But it's kind of business as usual today. There's been just a lot of different pieces of legislation and going around everything from getting rid of our springing ahead and falling back with our clocks. I know there's been movement on the insulin bills and our the rural finance moved forward as well. So I'll let you kind of grab any or all of the above topics. Sure. It's been kind of a busy week.
Yes, it has been. So insulin, we've heard that on the floor, the House floor, so that bill has passed. The Senate, I believe, is doing something similar maybe this week. And so those bills are not yet aligned. They're not identical. So that will go into a conference committee. And hopefully there's a little bit more of a push to get to a conclusion on that. We do have some other bills that are coming forward, one being the Rural Finance Authority. That still will be heard on the House floor, and I'm the author on that one. That will be heard Thursday night on the House floor, and we then will send it to the Senate. They should be able to pick it up and hear it pretty quickly as well, and then that one should go to the governor by next week. Then we've got disaster relief. That's another one that we're looking at putting some money into that. So the RFA bill, the Rural Finance Authority, allows for us to do some, go to the bond markets and get $50 million in bonds that then get loaned out through our local lenders, loaned out to farmers. And sometimes it's beginning farmers. It could be farmers that are needing to build something on their farm or do something. So that's a good fund. We want to replenish that. That's nearly at zero, so we need to replenish that. And then the disaster relief, that fund has been used quite a bit. The beauty of the fund, having a fund like a disaster relief fund, is if there's a disaster, especially when we're not in session, the local units of government have access to some funds so they can immediately do some repairs and be able to get money and know the resources that they have available. But we've, again, that fund has slowly been depleting. And we always look to spring and fall, kind of. We've got spring issues when it comes to flooding. So as the snow melts and the waters rise, we have to have money available to be able to address that. In the summer, we look at tornadoes, or in the fall, again, flooding. So we're just trying to replenish those dollars, too. So we're doing a few things that are spending some money, but those are things that we anticipated needing to do. The RFA bill just can't, we really can't wait till May, when we would probably be doing the regular bonding bill and the other disaster relief as well. We need to just have that money in place so it's ready to go when we have a disaster.
With last week, the as they call it, the February forecast coming out and looking a little more positive than it originally was thought to be, it obviously that's good news. Now the division is whether we give tax relief or we use that money to do some projects or move certain things forward that we just haven't had the money to do. How do you look at that forecast and what we can do this session?
That's a great question. We do have a little bit more in the forecast, which does allow us to do maybe a little bit more spending for the long term. Most of the money is one-time dollars. So it's something that, yes, we have more, but we can't, we won't be structurally balanced into the future if we do a tax cut that's long range, or if we spend on a program that's long term. So we do want to be looking at, okay, what are some things that we can fix or deal with that maybe then help us? And so we anticipate we'll have a tax bill. And one of those things is we've got federal conformity on the Section 179. We may be able to do some work with that, and that would help alleviate some of the problems that we had this last year. So that will spend some money, likely. You know, sometimes we spend money on roads and bridges, so we do take, you know, we could do some of the surplus money and put that in different pots like that. That, again, helps throughout the state. I know that House Democrats are looking at trying to invest some dollars in early childhood and the 3-year-olds, and making sure that they have a good start. So, like I said, there's, of course, when you have, you know, you find an extra $20 in your couch, you're trying to figure out how you can spend that. And, you know, you're not going to be able to spend it over and over again, but you want to be able to, you know, spend it wisely once. So what are those things? And I think that we'll have a lot of conversation about that. But it's you know, good news in that we're doing well. We are structurally balanced. We look to be structurally balanced into the future. But that's what we're paying attention to. We don't want to get to a point where we've overspent and then we're into deficit, because then it's cutting things. And that's a much harder place to be, to cut spending than it is to, you know, match what the needs are and try to wisely spend.
Well, and you and I have been doing this long enough that we know in years past, I mean, just because we had a surplus in this particular forecast, we've had this conversation when we were on the far end of the other extreme where it was coming up a lot shorter than they anticipated. And so you just really never know. And so the fact that we have the money now, it's a good thing. But I know just because of prudent spending or prudent budgeting, that's kind of what helps having this small increase in that surplus. So, you know, it's good to take advantage of it now. But, you know, tomorrow's a new day, too.
And tomorrow is a new day, and you're absolutely right. I mean, it can shift. We've already seen a shift with the COVID-19. I mean, if you've got a pandemic, a potential for that could disrupt commerce. You know, it's going to, we've been talking about it up here as far as, you know, at what point do we shut down, or would the schools shut down, or factories, or, you know, Hormel. I mean, it's like, everybody is kind of on alert. They're certainly gathering information about, you know, how this is going to impact us, and whether or not we, you know, I know we have really good plans in place, and we're paying attention to that. And we've got a really strong Jan Malcolm, who is with the Department of Health. She's on top of what needs to be done. I know that the governor gets briefings. Our leadership gets briefings. You know, we're all looking at, you know, how we can, you know, wash your hands, you know, make sure you try to prevent the spread. But we've had a couple of people that just have been out with influenza, just the regular influenza, and they're contagious, or they've been, you know, they've been removed. You know, it's like, yeah, you're out for 5 days. You don't come into the office. There's just much more awareness about that, and with precautions taken. And I think that that's something that you don't know. That can impact, again, the economics. So we're in a good spot now, but you never know, and we have to continue to plan for those things that are maybe more emergency situations.
Well, and as COVID-19, or as people call it, the coronavirus spreads, or whatever it does, I mean, like you said, that is certainly a game changer and puts so much into flux that I don't even know how you really, you know, I suppose you just business as usual until you have to deal with it. But even in bonding or looking for the budget, is that obviously it's going to have a pretty significant impact, you know, when and if.
Yes. You know, that you're absolutely right. We do look at you know, how it's going to impact things, and in small ways and in big ways. So you know, just we know that it's likely to hit in Minnesota as it kind of makes its way across, and more people are traveling, and more people are just you know, bringing it across borders. So We anticipate something, but, you know, we also anticipate other kinds of diseases and things happening. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, we just need to be prepared.
Yes. Want to finish up with this. I mean, obviously this weekend it is time to spring forward that extra hour. And I know legislation has been floated about to eliminate that in Minnesota. Of course, it would take, I think, federal approval after that. But what have you heard about that? And have you really had a chance to really decide on where you'd like to be on that?
Well, we have heard about it last year. We heard about it. And I know, you know, it's become a lot more prevalent for people to pay attention to that. You know, I think especially if you have small kids, and then, you know, they're having to get up for school and they have to do things, and, you know, it's just how it actually impacts personally for people. You know, it's nice to have long sunny days, you know, that extend, but we also worry about, you know, well, what does that mean to lack of sleep, or just the adjustment for your body and for young people. So there's definitely been more talk about it. I don't know that we're, you know, at this point ready to say, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. But I know that there's definitely been more energy put toward that issue, and we'll see. I guess I'd be looking to be supportive if there's a universal kind of, yes, we think this is a good idea. And but I haven't heard that we're holding any to immediately here.
Yeah, it's not imminent that it's going to hit the floor and you got to make a decision.
No.
But it would be a good opportunity, obviously, for constituents to let you know how they feel about it, and that
sure.
If they feel,
absolutely,
you know, hard on either side of that. I'm like, you know, it really doesn't matter to me. I come into work in the dark no matter what time of year it is, so it is what it is, and so I'm good either way.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's, like I said, if you've got little kids maybe, or, you know, school-age children, you might be looking at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time today. Again, a reminder to everybody on this Super Tuesday, get out and vote. It is important, and get your voice heard and try to move forward your candidate, whoever you affiliate with. It'll be an interesting evening of vote counting tonight.
That's very true. It will be.
All right. Representative Jim Poppy, we appreciate your time. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
That sounds great. Thanks
a lot, thanks
John.
So much.
Bye.
Representative Gene Poppy joining us here for a couple of minutes on AM 1480 KUS. We appreciate, of course, Representative Poppy having the time to visit with us this morning. I do know that oftentimes when she's visiting with us, has a committee hearing literally seconds after we get off the phone here. So we appreciate her just taking some time and sharing her thoughts with us. And if ever you have a particular issue or a piece of legislation that you would like me to ask Representative Poppy about, feel free to let me know, because I would like to have that conversation driven by things that are important to you. Whether it's the daylight savings time or the insulin bills that are moving around, the rural finance, there are a number of different pieces of legislation. Of course, later we'll get into bonding. But if there is something of concern you want us to discuss, let me know. You can always just text me a quick message, 507-222-9595. My email, John, J-O-H-N, dot Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, at alphamediausa.com. And just let me know if you got a question or concern you'd like me to talk to Representative Poppy or Senator Sparks. He joins us on Wednesdays. And we'll try to get answers to your questions for you.